Hello, and welcome to the Whole House Podcast, where you can find home, health, and family all in one place. Our team is comprised of moms from different upbringings and backgrounds, and we each have different passions and giftings and strengths. We each represent a different room, and we all make up the whole house. So grab a cup of coffee and join our overly caffeinated ladies here for the Whole House Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Whole House. Today is Kathleen
and Lori,
and today we're going to be talking about diagnosing capital letter syndromes, because that's a very difficult process to go through. And if you're wondering what a capital letter syndrome is, it is Asperger's, autism, anything on the spectrum, sensory processing disorder, ADHD, ADD.
Yep.
Fetal alcohol syndrome, RAD, which is reactive attachment disorder, any kind of attachment disorder, anything that has a bunch of capital letters in it.
Yeah.
So that's why we just kind of housed them all together, because even though there are many differences in those, there are a lot of similarities if you have a child with capital letter syndrome. So we're going to talk a little bit about the diagnosis process. So if you're at the beginning and you think, hey, there's something up with my child, I've noticed that there's something just not quite right, he's struggling more than he should be struggling, he can't regulate, those sorts of things, then we're here for you. We've been through it. We're not professionals. That doesn't mean we know
still
every answer. We're still living it. That just means that we can say, hey, me too. We've been through this. We've gotten the diagnosis for our kids, and we know how overwhelming and emotionally draining it can be just to step out and get the diagnosis, which is why we decided to do this particular topic.
And how alone you can feel.
Right. So I'll let you address that a little bit.
The aloneness.
The aloneness.
Is that a word?
We just made it a word. We just coined a new word.
Yeah. Well, I know. For some reason, there's a stigma around diagnosing.
Yes, definitely.
So not a lot of people are talk about it. They don't talk about it very often. And I think that's why we end up feeling alone, because you're like, nobody else is saying these things. So obviously I'm the only one here and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so lost, you know.
Right.
You get into that mindset because, you know, social media, people put their best face forward.
Right. Here, my kids are perfect. They all put their laundry away. They all clean their rooms. They all do this. And you're thinking, I can't get my child to stop from melting down at the texture of breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you do not only feel alone, but you feel like you're kind of flailing as a parent, because especially if, you know, you've already had a couple kids and you're like, hey, I was rocking this parent thing, and then boom.
Right. I know. Yeah. Well, I had my oldest and he was so easy, like sleeping through the night almost completely from birth.
Wow.
I mean,
gee whiz.
I know. He was so easy.
You had like motherhood superpowers or something.
Well, I'm pretty sure God did that on purpose so that I would actually have more. But then I had my second child, and he was so different. And then I got to thinking, okay, but is something wrong with my first child? Maybe my second child is the one that's like a normal motherhood type thing, because they were just so completely opposite of each other. And then I had a third child when he was a toddler.
And she is just, you know, even keeled.
She is. And then
happy.
Yeah, always. She was easy too. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's something wrong with the middle one. Like, there's something there that is different, that is off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, especially if you have multiple children, and suddenly you get one thrown into the mix that just throws all of your expectations out the window.
Right.
And your preconceived notions.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? I have no idea what I'm doing now.
Right. Exactly. But that's a really good point, though, because we have to remember, we feel like when we are raising children that we have so much control over everything, and we really don't.
We do
because
not.
Each person that we bring into our family through birth or adoption has their own personalities, their own bent, their own set of beliefs, their own set of doing things the way that they're doing things. And we don't really, we are trying to train them up in the way that they should go, but that doesn't mean we can control them up in the way that they should go.
Ooh, that's a good point.
So, so when you're thinking, okay, something is a little bit off, one of the things that Lori, you always say is, what is one of the determining factors that you know that there might be a capital letter syndrome if it affects their
everyday life?
Right. If it's affecting their everyday life every day.
Every day.
Not once a month.
Yeah.
Not once a year when the family comes in and they get a little dysregulated at the holidays. No, this is like every single day and multiple times a day, I would say.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and the thing is that everyone has some kind of little, like...
Ism.
Yeah. You know... That's something that they don't like. Like, I'm just going to throw out texture there for a second because I work with sensory a lot in my life. Personally, there's some foods that I just don't like if they are slimy or rubbery. It's just, it's a texture problem for me. But it doesn't keep me from my everyday life.
Right.
It doesn't dysregulate me. I just like, ooh, I don't want to eat that, you know?
Right. And yeah, and I can give an example from my own life too. I really like schedule. I like calendars and planning. And I don't like schedule changes, especially at the last minute. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like your GPS. Whenever someone tells me the schedule's changing, I'm like, recalculating. But it doesn't throw me off.
Right.
It doesn't just ruin my whole day. I don't have to fall down on the floor and
have a meltdown
and have a fit. So we all have our isms. So if you're wondering, does my child have a capital letter syndrome? Then there's the first test. Is it affecting their everyday life multiple times a day?
Yes. It doesn't become a syndrome until it disrupts life on a regular basis.
Right. And I would say if you think that that is going on, then you need to find somebody to talk to who has a child who has a capital letter syndrome.
Yeah.
Because often what you will run into, I ran into myself when I was talking to family members or just friends, and I would say, oh, my child's doing this. And they would just say, oh my goodness, that's just a stage.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Or you just need to discipline him more.
Yes.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah.
It's you just need to teach that child how to behave. If you just
anything that says you just.
Yes.
Sometimes I hate the word just. Sometimes I hate that word because I'm like, no, it's not that easy.
Right. It's, you know, and the thing is, we women are the type of people who are not going to go out and ask for help unless we're at the end of our rope.
Yeah.
So if someone comes to you and says, hey, my child seems to be very dysregulated. He can't make it through the day without like 10 fits, and he doesn't like this texture, and he hates the schedule change, and he can't do math, or, you know, this long list of things. Don't do the you just.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Just, you know, listen. And sometimes all we moms need is someone to listen. Just listen so we can process it.
Right.
And while we're talking and processing it, we might be saying, hey, little Joe in the classroom is completely different than my child. He seems to be able to regulate all the way through homeschool co-op, and my kid cannot make it through the announcements because maybe he doesn't like the crowd. Maybe it's too overstimulating. Maybe there's too much noise. Maybe when they bring the puppets out, he's like, ah! So,
puppets.
Right. Well, puppets are scary sometimes for kids.
I know. But it's not usually an announcement thing.
Well, it depends on which church you go to.
I guess. I think she thought you're like, you've read my son's mind, because just the other day we started co-op and he's like, I hate announcements. And I know it wasn't just the announcements. It's just
right.
There's a lot of people in there. There's a lot of noise going on. It's very hot and he can't handle it.
Right.
He
I saw the pictures
there.
And that, you know, you're really, there's too many kids to fit in that area
yes.
anymore. It's just really stuffed in there like little sausages.
I know. And he's standing in the back away from everybody because he can't do it. Yes, and, you know, and to the outside world, it looks like he's just being defiant.
Right, and that's when you get the you just.
Yes, exactly.
So we're going to just backtrack a little bit because we'll just share what diagnosis we have in our family a little bit. I'm not going to share too much about my adult children because that's their story, but...
Yeah.
Just so you know, we're not just sitting here talking about it. We have actual diagnosis in our family.
Yeah. You have a lot.
We have a long list. In my family, we have Asperger's and fetal alcohol syndrome and attachment disorders and processing disorders.
Yeah.
And I'm probably forgetting, dyslexia.
Yeah.
So we have a whole host of them, and I'm probably forgetting some, but... It's just I'm just letting you know that is not who my family is.
Right.
Those are tools. Those diagnoses are tools to help us help them.
Yep. Help me help you.
Right. Right. So I'll let you share about yours.
We have a sensory processing disorder and dyslexia. I wonder if those always go hand in hand.
I wonder about that.
Because it seems that way.
Right.
You get a lot of one with the other, so.
Right.
We have some PTSD issues that we've had to work through, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so we have some of that, too. That's, yeah, when you've had trauma in your life, that one's pretty common.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the one thing that we have to remember as parents is you are your child's advocate.
That's right.
You can't rely on your local pediatrician. I mean, they're a great resource, they're a great help, but they are not. That is not their primary job.
Yeah.
Your primary job is to be your child's advocate because nobody else will. And you're going to bump up against some brick walls in your family and with your friends when you say, hey, I think my child's on the spectrum. Oh, no, he's not. He's just really smart, and he doesn't like to be social. You're going to bump into those walls, and those are the things that you just have to push through for your child, because the ultimate goal here is not to have a capital letter syndrome that you can wear on a T-shirt.
No.
The ultimate goal is to help your child thrive in this world and navigate this world well, instead of feel like he's out of sorts all the time, or that, you know, your child knows when they get to a certain age, they're going to look around and know, hey, there's something, I just don't process things the same way. I don't handle things the same way.
Yeah.
And they'll probably say, you might get used to hearing the S word, because they're going to say, well, that's stupid.
All the time.
That's stupid. I don't want to go into announcements. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this test.
That's
stupid.
Yeah, I know.
So it's kind of their fallback phrase for, I'm feeling dysregulated. I can't handle this.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Right.
Our billion page book.
That's right. We're writing a book. It gets longer every time we mention it.
Because they come up with new things that
right.
are stupid.
I need somebody to be recording all the things that are stupid.
Yes. It'll be an audio book. But yeah, you're your child's best advocate because you know them the best. They've been given to you for a reason.
Right. There's no mistake.
No,
it's not a mistake.
No.
It's like God knew that you had the tools and the wherewithal. And if you feel like you don't have them, he will give them to you.
Right.
To parent this child. And I would say, you know, when you get around those naysayers who are just like, oh, he'll grow out of it, or he's just a stage, put your running shoes on and run away.
Yeah.
As fast as you can. And if it's family, then don't talk about that to them.
Right.
And if you're like, you know, I had talked about this at the gathering in our little workshop. I had family members who just would not acknowledge. They just kept telling me it was, oh, you know, you're just making this up, or this child isn't that way, until that child had a meltdown at their house, and they were calling me on the phone saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help this kid. I don't know. He's on the floor, and he's like, what do I do?
Well, that's, I got, what I got was, because the way that I got a diagnosis for my son was, I had a friend whose son was doing something very similar, and she actually got a diagnosis first because she doesn't live in the U.S., and she lives in Canada, and it was like more, they were more aware of those kind of things there. It was something a little bit newer in America, the sensory processing disorder. Before that, it was like everybody was ADD.
Right, ADD or ADHD, that's everybody,
So she was telling me about it, and then she sent me some information about it, and then the more that I researched it, the more I was like, this sounds like my child, exactly. Hmm. So I started printing off information and then took that to my pediatrician, who then said, okay, let's get you an appointment with an occupational therapist who can do the testing to make sure what this is.
Well, and that's good.
So, but whenever I was talking to family about it, I got a lot of, they just want to medicate every child.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this doesn't require medication. This is just something this is to help me know how to help my child. It's not something that needs medicated, you know?
Right.
Because not everything does. I mean, there's some things
out
there
that
does. Some things
do. Some things need medication, but not everything does.
But not everything does. But the thing to remember is, whether it needs medication or it doesn't, it's still just a tool. It's not some dark cloud to hold over their head the rest of their lives. It's just a tool to help them navigate life.
Exactly. And I was talking to our friend Rachel this morning, and this diagnosis thing is kind of fresh in her life. And she sent me some notes, and one of the things that she said that is so important is that be prepared that it will hurt even if you are expecting it.
Yeah.
You will take it personally.
Yep.
And you have to be ready to push back against that. You can't effectively advocate for your child if you are too busy attacking yourself.
That's so true.
And we moms were really good at the mom guilt.
We are
professionals at that. And as soon as we think there's something up with our child, we start going back over everything.
Yeah.
Did I feed them the wrong thing? Was it because I have a microwave? You know, we go through all of this stuff and we're trying to figure out where it came from. Don't try to figure out where
it
came from.
It's just genetic.
Yep. Or sometimes it just happens because we live in a fallen world.
It's true. Yeah.
And things happen.
It just happens.
We don't need to spend time trying to figure it out. Now, of course, if you figure out that your child has celiac disease, then you definitely need to treat them with diet. And you can say, hey, I've been feeding this kid all kinds of wheat, and that might be one of the reasons that it's flaring up. Yeah, so that kind of thing, but only for treatment.
Yes.
You don't need to figure out where it came from.
Right.
You don't need to figure out, and some people think that when you adopt that you don't have that mom guilt because you're like, okay, that came from someone else. That is not true at all. You still have the mom guilt, and you have the added burden of feeling guilty because you weren't there in the beginning, and you wanted to be there, and there's no way you could have been there.
Yeah.
So... sorry. Laura, you need to talk. I'm crying.
Okay. Well, I wanted to point out something because you said something about celiac. And that's actually, I mean, that's a good point. Because when we have something that that you can see.
Yes.
People are all about the diagnosis.
Right.
Well, obviously, if they have a celiac, don't give them gluten, you know?
Right.
But whenever it's an unseen disorder, like maybe the kid just appears normal.
Right, they appear normal.
Then people start with the justs.
Right, and here's a great example I give to illustrate that when I do Empower to Connect training, is that when you are at an event, or say you're at church or in a classroom, and a child comes in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Everybody jumps up to accommodate that child because you can see the disability. You can see it. It's visible. But when a child walks in the door with a capital letter syndrome, and they may appear flustered, or maybe their face is blank, or they've checked out. But you think, okay, that child looks normal, mm-hmm. and people are not as accommodating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is another place you really have to be a child's advocate. One of the issues with fetal alcohol syndrome is those children who have that need limited sugar, because sugar has the same effect in the body as alcohol, because alcohol turns to sugar.
Yeah.
So kids who have fetal alcohol syndrome they're just craving sugar, and they will do anything to get it. And this was just kind of a miscommunication with the Sunday school teacher, but we fill out a form every year, and I filled out this form saying this child doesn't need any red dye or any sugar while he's in Sunday school because he just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Well, my child was getting donuts, he was getting cupcakes, he was getting stuff every single week. So I went to talk to his teacher, and she was just like, they didn't even show me those forms.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know. That form is filed somewhere in the office, and I didn't see it. So she, profusely apologized and said, I will make sure. Because what was happening was this child was waking up on Monday morning with a hangover from the sugar.
And she put that in quotes, by the way.
Yeah, that was quotes. Oh, you can't see that. The camera's not working. And then, the first couple days of the week were really rough.
Yeah, because they were getting sugar.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's when you have to be your child's advocate. Never assume that somebody knows something.
Yeah.
Never assume that even if they have a degree in something, that they're going to know exactly what your particular child needs. And sometimes we just have to be a little bit pushy.
Yeah, people don't like that, but yeah.
But it's for your kid. It's
and
really
it,
for
that's
your
the
kid.
Thing that you have to remember. It's for your child.
Right.
There. You can be polite to a fault sometimes.
Right. You can. The thing is, you can be polite
and pushy
at the same time.
Yeah.
You can do it with grace, but you need to be adamant that this is really super important for this particular child.
Yes.
Or you're going to suffer the consequences, or I am. And by that, I mean the way that the child is going to react to that.
Yeah.
Or not be able to function.
Right.
So, here is another good point. This one's hard. Act professionally at the appointment.
Ugh.
So if you get an appointment and you're going in for a diagnosis and you've been wondering and you've been like Lori and I both, we printed off articles. We took I took tests for my kids online for Asperger's and asked them the questions while they're sitting there and did all these things. So act professionally at the appointment. Keep it together, especially if your child's with you. This isn't a death sentence. It's just a tool to help your child. It's okay to fall apart later, but keep it together at first.
I did fall apart later a lot.
Yeah, and that's okay. You can go in your room
in private
and cry. And I did. I mean, I did every time with every diagnosis, with everything I found out, even with some of my kids who got diagnoses as adults.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, how did I miss that one?
Right.
Mom
guilt.
Right, mom guilt. And it can be overwhelming. The truth is, this is emotionally a battle. Even after you get the diagnosis, that doesn't mean like, okay, everything's coming up daisies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rachel had even said at the gathering in our little workshop, just there's no finish line.
No.
If you get that in your mind, like, this is just something for the rest of your life that you're all going to be working on together. Your children are going to be working on it. You're going to be working on it. And don't think that there's just some, like, what do we need to do to fix it? I'm thinking, what was that show? Was it Parenthood?
I don't know.
Where the little boy has...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. He has Asperger's. And, like, they're at one of their first appointments, and the dad's asking, so, like, what do we need to do to get him out of this pirate costume?
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, let's not focus on that.
Right.
That's not the thing. The thing is, we immediately want to focus on the behaviors that we think are not socially acceptable.
Right.
And that's not the way to go.
Right. Well, that's what I liked in the Empower to Connect training. I think Dr. Purvis said that one of the students had cursed or something. The focus wasn't on the cursing.
Right.
It was on what was going on.
Right.
So, yeah, they shouldn't say those words.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're focusing on the wrong thing, you're not going to help them.
Right. And that's very easy. I mean, we hear a curse word come out of our kids' mouths and we're like, oh my gosh, don't ever say that.
I know.
But if you're focusing on that, on the one hand, some kids are going to be like, ooh, that's a power tool I'm going to use again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then other times the kids are just like, they're so dysregulated, they didn't even know they said the word.
Right.
And so you're focusing on the word instead of what the behavior is and what the child needs at that moment.
Right. And she talked to the child about and tried to help him regulate the behavior and didn't even point out the fact that he said that word.
Right. She didn't say anything about that word at all.
Because the kids know.
Yes.
They know it's a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
They know right. They shouldn't be saying it.
Right. But if they can get you off track.
Yeah.
The truth is, if you are out of control, then the child is in control.
That's right.
And if you maintain being in control, even if, like Jessica says, if you have to faith it till you make it, even if you're just pretending that you're in control, and you later have to go in the bathroom and phone a friend and say, oh my gosh, this just happened, and
yeah,
I'm just, like, falling apart here. It's okay. You can do that later. Like we had just said, you can cry later. You can break down later. Your body is going to have a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's going to have a reaction to diagnoses, and it's also going to have a reaction to every occurrence of a meltdown. You cannot stop your body from having a reaction.
Yes.
You cannot be a robot, but you have to choose when you have that reaction.
Right. Because you can't, if you go in front of the child, that child now has control.
Right. Right. And this one is a touchy one. You have to be careful how soon and how much information you give your child about the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because they will use it as a weapon against
they
you.
They will. My kid has. He's like, oh, it's because of my SPD. I'm like, no. Sorry.
Right. Or it's not my fault my birth mother drank. It was her fault. Like,
no.
Okay, yeah. But we're not going to use that.
Yeah.
There, you know, we're trying to figure out how you can navigate and be successful in your life. And when I say be successful, I'm not talking about making money.
Yeah.
I'm talking about being able to shower, pay your bills, and be an adult. Well, those are important things.
I know. I was just thinking. I'm like, oh my gosh, how many times I can't get my kid to shower.
So, if you're thinking, wait a minute, hey, my kid doesn't like to shower, they don't like to bathe, they don't like to take care of themselves, they have problems with hygiene, that might be a little bit of a hint. Now, boys, I don't know, boys do that for longer, and then all of a sudden when they realize there are girls in the world,
then
they start the showering. But if your child has a capital letter syndrome, even when they notice there are girls, they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're not going to care about the hygiene because it's just not part of their brain function.
Right.
It's just not there. And you can choose to make that a battle. And if you do, then it will be a battle.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to pick your battles. Or you can just, you know, one of the things that I did for my kids was just make that part of their schedule. Like, okay, It's your turn to go take a shower.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes they just don't think about those things.
Right. It's just not part of their brain function. They're not thinking.
I will see my child and maybe he's scratching himself or something.
A scratch and sniff test.
And I'll say, hey, how long has it been since you've showered?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you showered? I don't remember. Well, then you probably need one. Yeah, probably. And they'll go shower, you know.
Right, because you're right. They're not thinking about that.
And that's why I always have a stick of deodorant in my purse. Because we'll go out the door, and even though it's an everyday thing, and they
mm-hmm.
do it every day,
mm-hmm.
we'll get in the car and be like, I forgot deodorant. Do you have some? Yes, it's in my purse.
You are co-regulating for your child.
Yes, I do. But the point is, he remembered that he forgot. So,
so he's beginning regulation.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
But they just don't... Those are things that just don't cross their mind. They just don't think about it.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, yeah, maybe I should. Whenever you remind them.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, I think maybe my kid does have a capital letter syndrome. I'm not sure which one it is. Do some research online. But don't just self-diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
Make an appointment.
Yeah.
With your pediatrician. If your pediatrician won't listen to you, find another pediatrician. It's okay. You're allowed.
Yeah.
You're in charge. It's your child. It's not their child. Find somebody, a professional, who will listen. And if you have some friends that are professionals, psychologists, occupational therapists,
mm-hmm.
then talk to them. Pick their brain. It's not that they're going to give you a diagnosis themselves, but they can help you navigate this path
yeah.
because it's scary. It's overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming if you don't have any idea what you're doing.
Right. And just, you know, saying about don't react with in the doctor's office, you know, you might be sitting in the doctor's office thinking, I just want to cry my eyeballs out right now, right
yeah.
here, because my child is back there taking a test.
Yeah.
And I want to go back there and make sure everything's going okay. And I'm afraid of what he's going to say.
Yes, because he says whatever's on the top of his head.
Right. But these are professionals. They're used to that.
Right,
so even
are.
If your child says something or if they're a teenager and you make them fill out the form themselves just because you want them the practice and they say something on the form that's not true, it's okay. Don't we take these things so personally, because when our job is motherhood, whether you work outside of the home or you don't, and you have children, your job is motherhood, you want to have a really good resume. You know, you want your resume to say that you did everything right. Well, this has nothing to do with you doing everything right.
Yeah.
But if you ignore the signs and the symptoms because you don't want a diagnosis or you don't want a label, then you're not helping your child.
No. No.
You have to. And I would say to moms, I find this a reoccurring theme. Guys don't like this part of it.
They don't. No. They have a hard time coming to terms with it.
Right. They don't like having to go get a diagnosis. They don't like having to take kids to occupational therapy. It just goes against their grain.
Right.
So
they're fixers. They would just, there's a problem, let's fix it. I fix it, not somebody
right.
else fix it. I fix it. That's just the guy, that's just the way that boy brain works.
Right. So they're just like, what do we need to do? Do it.
Let's fix it. Well, when you have a capital letter syndrome, it's not a just fix it.
Right. There's the just word again.
I know.
You should call this the just podcast.
You can't just fix it. It's a part of who they are. You give them tools to become adults, functioning members of society.
Right.
That's how you help them. And it's not overnight.
Right. And the thing is, if you need, you know, to get some other mom friends who have gone through it, I mean, I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And not be dumping everything on your husband, because often when they come home at the end of the day and you're just like this, They
try to fix it.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. They just try to fix it. So.
All right, let's fix it.
So
my
you,
woman has a problem. Me fix.
So moms, you have to be the advocate for your child. And I would point out very strongly that you need to celebrate the victories.
Every
little tiny thing. You need to celebrate them with your child. You need to point them out to your child. You need to praise them because they regulated. You need to praise them because they took a shower. You need to praise them when they get older and they move out of your home and they still need a little bit of help with making sure they pay their bills on time. Praise them. Good job paying your rent. Good job buying some groceries, even if they were just ramen noodles. Good job doing that.
It's still food.
It's still food. Yep. So praise them. And they need that because when you are a person who has a capital letter syndrome, you don't get a lot of that.
No.
These kids get a lot of correction from every direction.
Yes. That's a recently, and I shared this at the gathering. My son with sensory issues, he came to me because he's navigating teenage life right now, and there's a lot of things that I didn't have to deal with my older child that mm-hmm. I now have to address with him mm-hmm. because there's just different people, you know. And he's like, he came to me one night and said, "I feel like all you guys do lately is lecture me mm-hmm. and I can't do anything right," which at first was like, oh, right to the heart, you
right.
know?
I know.
But then I was like, wait, he came to me and told me how he was feeling. Yay,
that's a victory. When your child uses their voice to express how they're feeling, that means they have gotten in touch with how they're feeling, which is very difficult for kids with capital letter syndromes. They often are not aware of their own body signals.
Yeah.
So if they become aware of something, then don't just take it personally.
I did.
Which is, that's our first response. That's okay. That's
yep.
our first response. But move on from that very quickly and look at it for what it really is.
Yeah.
So make sure that you get that diagnosis. Stay away from naysayers who are not going to help, because you're in this for the long run and you're in this for your child.
Right. There's no finish line.
Right.
Get that out of your head.
Yep. Get it out of your head right now. Don't think if you get this, you know, because I have some.
Get to this point. Yay, we're done. He's cured. It's not the way it works.
Right. Well, I'm familiar with that because I have a couple autoimmune diseases, and I will have people come to me and tell me, if I use this oil or if I take this pill or if I do this, then I'm cured. Well, I know that that's not true, because
no.
It doesn't work that way. And it's the same way with your kid. If someone says, hey, if you use this oil, then they won't be on the spectrum anymore.
No, that's not
nope.
how it works at all.
That oil may soothe them and help them a little bit, but it's not going to cure them.
That is no.
So
there's not a cure. It's not something to cure.
Right. And if you think about it long term, because I'm going to end with this. If you think about it long term, you go out in public and you have no idea how many adults you deal with on a daily basis that have a capital letter syndrome that were diagnosed as a child because they're not wearing it on a t-shirt.
Yes.
And they're functioning and they're successful. And like I said, when we say successful, we mean navigating life, being able to take care of yourself and being able to be a part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Those are important things. And hopefully a part of a church body somewhere.
Yes.
And I won't go into the church thing, but that's sometimes difficult for kids with capital letter syndromes. Mm-hmm. But the point is, there are people out there adulting and being successful, and that's what your aim is for your child.
Yes.
You want them to be able to successfully navigate life, and that's why you get the diagnosis when they're a kid.
So not you can help.
Right, so you can help, not so that they can get it on a t-shirt.
Right.
So any final thoughts from you?
No, I think that we rocked it.
All right. So thanks for joining us today on the Whole House Podcast, and this month of October, we have a bunch of things on capital letter syndromes, including Lori telling her story. So watch out for those. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
We're so glad you could join us here for the Whole House Podcast. Please subscribe, and if you give us a review, we might pick our favorite and send you a prize. Please remember to like the Whole House Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at @the_whole_house. And please, please sign up with your email on our website, thewholehouse.org, to be notified when new things are happening here at the Whole House. Thanks so much for listening.